Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. We're here at CindySheehanSoapbox.com and Rational Radio 1360 AM, Dallas, Texas. Thanks for tuning back in this week. We have another great show. We're going to be talking to courageous human rights activist Cynthia McKinney, so we're going to get right into the show. When we come back, we'll be talking to Cynthia, so stay tuned.
Cindy Sheehan's new booklet, Myth America, examines two distinct groups of people that clearly show that we are not all in this together, as President Obama declared. The first group, the robber class, are wealthy victimizers such as those corporations and politicians that profit off the hard labor of others through economic theft and violent exploitation. The second group, the robbed class, are the victims, such as those who work multiple jobs just to make ends meet, those who send their children off to die in robber class wars, those who lack proper health care, those who are denied decent education, and those who lose their jobs and homes and become homeless. Myth America exposes America's robber class, which controls our government, and affirms that we, the robbed class, can only be robbed if we allow it. To obtain a copy of Myth America and learn how we can take back our country, please visit CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Hi, my name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you're listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.CindySheehansSoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. On our show today, we'll be chatting with Cynthia McKinney. Cynthia is a former congresswoman from Atlanta, Georgia. She was a presidential candidate in 2008 on the Green Party ticket, a ticket that I supported and a person I'm very happy that I voted for and very proud that I voted for. Today, we'll be talking to Cynthia about her trips to Gaza, her failed trips, and her successful trip. Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox, Cynthia.
Well, thank you so much for asking me, inviting me to be with you. You know, I just love you to death, Cindy.
And all my listeners love you, and everybody I know loves you. So it's really great to have you on the show. And we were so worried about you through that long ordeal you had with the Israeli government. And that's what I want to talk about. I had Mairead McGuire on my show a few weeks ago to talk about it. But thanks for giving us your time to fill us in on what happened when you were what I like to call kidnapped by the government of Israel. So let's start at the beginning instead of going too far.
Oh, if you want to start in the beginning, I think it's 1948.
Right. Well, let's jump up to 2009 because you, well, let's talk about, I think we've already talked about it on the show, but let's talk a little bit about what happened the first time you took the boat to Gaza, and your boat was, or you tried to take the boat to Gaza, and it was rammed by the Israeli Navy.
That's right. We were rammed, and, you know, honestly, I just have to call it attempted murder because that's what I believe they wanted to do, was not just disable us and then prevent us from reaching our destination, but, you know, we were surrounded. We were in international waters, and then the physical aggression, and they did it because they could.
Right.
And they knew that they were going to get away with it, and so they just did it because they could. Now, I don't know if Murray told you about what they did to us this time, the second time for me, and that was they disabled our GPS.
Right.
In the middle of the night. Did she tell you that?
Well, I can't exactly remember what exactly we talked about, but so we're just going to, I think, basically have to start from scratch because, you know, like I said, I don't remember the details of what me and Murray talked about. But, of course, we were watching the story closely while it was happening. But, first of all, you're on these boats, and they're from Free Gaza. And what you're trying to do is get supplies into Gaza to break the blockade of the Israeli government on that region in Gaza. So you have humanitarian supplies, and you're trying to get through with your humanitarian supplies. The first time you were on the boat, it was rammed, and you couldn't get through. The second time, this is where we'll pick the story up from. Tell us exactly what happened. That must have been just very, very scary.
Well, in the middle of the night, of course, because of what happened to us, and we had the very same captain, a marvelous, wonderful man from Britain who now lives in Cyprus. And he was very, very experienced some reason, I can't explain it. You know, people just bond. And he and I bonded, I guess because, you know, I was like, you know, I couldn't swim. I hadn't been on a boat before. And, you know, here we are. I'm trying to figure out how to put on my life jacket. And we, you know, and so we bonded the first time. And so then the second time when I went on Spirit of Humanity, I was so happy to learn that it was going to be the same Captain Dennis Healy.
Right.
And so in the middle of the night, when we were at the point where the Dignity was rammed, he came and he said, you know, we're at that point. So everyone was like, on guard because we knew what could happen. But the Spirit of Humanity, terribly slow boat. It's a ferry. It was, you know, I walk faster than that boat goes.
Right.
But it was steel, so we were saying, okay, well, now, you know, they probably won't try to ram it, but what will they do? And what they did was they disabled our GPS, and what they wanted us to do was to stray inadvertently into Israeli waters so they would have a reason to pick us up.
Right.
And our captain is so professional, and of course, you know, the navigators of old didn't have GPS, they had the stars. And so our captain navigated the old-fashioned way using the stars and certain landmarks, even though it was night, and we did not stray from our course. And the most important thing is that we did not go into Israeli waters. So then they had to come up with another plan.
Right.
So they did something I've never experienced before, and they use some kind of machine to rock the boat. And they rocked us. I guess that was this was also while the GPS was down. So I guess they wanted us to, I don't know, maybe they wanted the boat to tip over. Or they
capsize
wanted us to get
or
off.
Something.
They rocked. I mean, it was a violent kind of rocking of the boat. And since it's a ferry, it didn't have very much depth up under the water, and that was a real danger, a real possibility. It did not happen, and we proceeded eventually. I think it was like 4 hours later, our GPS came back on, and we were able to discern where we were on our route, and we proceeded. And then, because we were undaunted and undeterred, we were surrounded, and then eventually four speedboats. We were surrounded by eight warships, and then there were four speedboats that came to us, and one of them boarded us. They dislodged the captain from the captain's wheel and took us in a very circuitous route to Israel, where we remained in prison in custody for 7 days.
Wow.
And I had crayons, and, you know, and it's like, you know, why do I have to spend 7 days in prison because I want Gaza children to color?
Mm-hmm. Wow. So has everybody been released so far? I mean, that...
Yes,
that
everyone has been released. Mm-hmm. Everyone is back. And, you know, our captain, I have to tell you, he used to pride himself in the fact that he was not an activist. He was hired because of his credentials. And but after what they did to us with the Dignity, and this last time, I was stunned to see a newspaper article where Dennis said he's going back because what the Israelis did was against the law, and they shouldn't be allowed to get away with it.
Did you all? I'm sorry. Did you all have to sign some kind of promise that you wouldn't try and do that again?
No. They tried to sign us, make us sign, was a statement saying that we had violated the law. Of course we didn't violate the law. We're going about our merry way. In fact, we were quite happy. And there's this famous artist who's written this song about Gaza, "We Won't Go Down." And you know, so we were singing our song, and we were doing, you know, what people who are excited about what they're doing, we were doing what we do. And we're activists. We're human rights activists. And so we were exercising our right. And in the process, we were helping other people. So, and then out of nowhere, we end up in prison. Murray told me as we were being booked, Cindy, I think that's something you've got some experience with. It was my first time.
It was your first time ever being arrested?
I know, you know.
Oh, you're such a good girl.
You know, I have been so good. Well, I am. Well, I thought I was unruly, but I'm just trying to follow in your footsteps, darling. That's
well,
what I'm trying to do.
I've never had to spend 7 days in jail yet, so I have to catch up with you. Texas jail is almost like 7 days in a real jail, though. So.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine down there in Bush territory. So when we were being booked, Murray told me Dr. King would be proud of me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You have so many people who are so proud of you. And I tell people all the time, I am just so proud that I supported her for president and voted for her. And somebody who, you know, stands up courageously and does the right thing. I actually am very active on my Facebook page. And so mm-hmm. I asked some of my friends what, you know, if they had any questions for you. And I want to get to where you actually, as soon as you got back to the States, you turned around and went right back to the Middle East to get on the Viva Palestina trip, right?
Convoy.
Okay,
yes,
so we'll talk about that. But I want to ask you this question that everybody asks me. And I'd like to kind of hear your response. What, because mm-hmm. You just said you don't swim. You've never been on a boat. What, and after the first time of being rammed, what gives you the courage to get back on a boat and to try it again?
Oh, wow. What a question, you know, because that's like, I can talk about other people. I can talk about what happened, but to actually go deep inside myself to try and understand what motivates me. You know, Cindy, I don't know, you know, why did you do what you did? You know, you made a difference in all of our lives. You touched us. And it's something that comes from within.
Right.
For me, Go ahead. Yes.
No, well, you know, to me, it is really hard to say, you know, but for me, it's not a matter of courage because I'm not afraid. But, you know, it's who besides us are going to speak up for those people, who are going to speak up for the children of Gaza or Afghanistan or Pakistan or Iraq or American children.
That's exactly right.
But I was interested because I get that question all the time, and I was wondering how you might answer it too, because I rarely feel like I'm in any physical danger, but what you did put yourself in a lot of physical danger.
Yes, I was in physical danger, that's for sure. But, you know, I, as a student of the counterintelligence program of COINTELPRO, I kind of know what the people that I look up to, that we all look up to, I kind of know what they went through. There's this wonderful book by Jim DiEugenio that focuses on the assassinations of the two Kennedys, King and Malcolm X. And the story that he tells about Malcolm X is pretty touching. Basically, he reminds us that the government had made no secret of the fact that they wanted Malcolm X dead. And on the morning of his planned speech at the Audubon Ballroom,
right,
he received a phone call,
right,
saying, "Today is the day."
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, he could have told his wife to get the kids ready, "We're going to go back to Georgia," but he didn't do that. He told his wife, you know, "Get the kids ready, I want them there." And so he kept his appointment at the Audubon Ballroom after receiving that phone call saying, "Today is the day."
Right.
And then if you look at the December 1999 trial that the King family, the King family had requested with the information that came out from Lloyd Jowers. And so there was a trial in Memphis about who actually killed Dr. King. And from the testimony, it is clear. I've read the transcript. It's available for people. It is fascinating. It's at thekingcenter.org.
Right on.
The entire transcript is there. And you see that for the last 5 years of Dr. King's life, the press lied about him.
Right.
They knowingly lied about him. The government had their people inside the media that they could count on to lie. And so his life was just terrible for the last 5 years. They had done this to him. They ran this campaign of targeting him. And so if you look at the lives of the people that we look up to and you put yourself where they were then at the time, it wasn't easy for them to do what they do. When Rosa Parks sat down on that bus, she couldn't get a job in Alabama. She had to leave and go to Michigan. She and her husband had to leave and go to Michigan. She ended up on John Conyers's congressional staff.
Right.
That's right. So, you know, and I'm sure that life ain't been no crystal staff for you because you took a stand.
That's putting it mildly.
That's right. And so, you know, we do what we do because we have to do what we do. We know, and we know that it doesn't have to be the way it is. And we have this burning in our hearts and this yearning in order to change things.
Well, that's so important for people to hear because, you know, so many people are so vaguely, I don't want to say vaguely, but they're very upset. They're very disappointed. They don't like the way, the direction that our country is going, but they see how, you know, what this country does to people. So it makes them afraid to step out and to actually do something. But I think to witness people like you and your courage and what you do and what you boldly do, I think is very inspirational to a lot of people. And so, but we're trying to, they want to keep us in our places. They don't want us to be out there agitating like our friend Reverend Joseph Lowry says, you know, you can't get anything clean if you don't have an agitator. So we need
right.
everybody out there agitating. We have a few minutes left before we have to take the first break. When we come back from the break, we'll talk about the Viva Palestina trip that you took. But something that my Facebook friends want to know, and something that I want to know, and everybody that's listening to the show, what are your political plans for 2010, 2012, or are you know, electoral politics still in your future?
The best way I could answer that is to say that that's really up to the people. I get that question a lot, and I'm sure you get that question a lot too, Cindy.
Yep.
And the only thing I can say is, of course, you know, I want to change things. And the most effective way to change policy is to be a policymaker. So I would love to have one foot outside of the establishment, doing the agitation that's necessary on the outside, and another foot inside the institution, still doing the agitation that's necessary for change.
So that was a way of saying that you're keeping an open mind about things.
Mind.
You're not shutting any doors or throwing your hat in the ring and to anything specific right now today.
That's right. That's
you're not going to make an announcement. That's, I want you to make an announcement today on the Cindy Scoop. Give a scoop to Cindy Sheehan's soapbox.
Okay, I tell you what. When I decide to do something, whatever it is, I will give you the scoop. How
Yay!
About that?
Yay, we get the exclusive. Yay. And you know what, too, Cynthia, is that my show's still online at CindySheehanSoapbox.com, but it's also on Rational Radio in Dallas, Texas, which I think is very exciting because Dallas, Texas is somewhere that needs to hear our voices. But George Bush also lives there, so I always imagine him listening to my show every week and hearing what we have to say. So in the last like minute before the break, why don't you send George Bush a message, something about we're not ever going to give up on holding him accountable?
Oh, well, we definitely aren't going to give up on that. And it's a shame that the Obama administration has given up. But thank goodness the United Nations Special Rapporteur for torture has said that it is a requirement of this administration that they hold the previous administration accountable. Any moves that we see toward that should be applauded, but we should know also that it didn't just happen out of the good graces. It happened because people like Cindy Sheehan and the masses of people across this country want that to happen, and they actually took to the streets and clicked on their emails to make it happen.
And so, George, we're not forgetting about you and what you've done to the country, and we're not going to move forward until we can heal. And the healing happens only through accountability for your administration. So this is Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. We're talking to Cynthia McKinney. We'll be right back after this break, so stay tuned.
Hi, my name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy, and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you are listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.cindysheehansoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.cindysheehansoapbox.com.
Cindy Sheehan's new booklet, Myth America, examines two distinct groups of people that clearly show that we are not all in this together, as President Obama declared. The first group, the robber class, are wealthy victimizers such as those corporations and politicians that profit off the hard labor of others through economic theft and violent exploitation. The second group, the robbed class, are the victims, such as those who work multiple jobs just to make ends meet, those who send their children off to die in robber class wars, those who lack proper health care, those who are denied decent education, and those who lose their jobs and homes and become homeless. Myth America exposes America's robber class, which controls our government, and affirms that we, the robbed class, can only be robbed if we allow it. To obtain a copy of Myth America and learn how we can take back our country, please visit CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Trusting in the sanity and restraint of the United States is not a strategy, and it is not an option.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. We're talking to former Congresswoman and presidential candidate Cynthia McKinney. Thanks for hanging on, Cynthia.
Well, thank you again. And, you know, the other thing that comes to mind is this rumor that Dick Cheney is supposed to have said that George Bush went soft on him.
I just read something about that. Tell us about that.
Well, I don't know the details, but the idea that Bush went soft, well, you know, I can kind of understand because, you know, I see the smirk. The smirk on Dick Cheney's face now. And, you know, he really was a hard guy. I wonder what kind of daddy he was. I wonder what kind of husband he is.
Well,
we know what kind of vice president he was, and we know he deserves to be behind bars.
Well, you know, if George Bush went soft, what were their further plans?
Exactly.
Was definitely Iran on the schedule, and so that's really scary to think that there was anything soft about the Bush administration.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, if we look at what's going on now, I mean, you know, our young men and women are being shipped off to Afghanistan, and they say they want to double the number.
That's really pitiful to me. And what is even more pitiful, Cynthia, is how so many anti-war, so-called anti-war groups have just stood down because we have a Democrat in office right now. We don't just have a Democrat in the White House, so we have Democrats control of the House and the Senate, and not just a little bit. They don't just have a bare majority. In the Senate, they have a what do they call it? What's that thing where filibuster-proof majority? And in the House, they have about 100 seats. So what's preventing them from doing anything that their base has talked about for the last at least 8 years? You know, ending the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, single-payer health.
They talked about impeachment, but they won't do impeachment. They talked about single-payer, but they won't do single-payer. And so basically what the people ought to see in plain sight is that the Democrats talk, but it's people like us who actually do.
And you left the Democratic Party a couple years back, I think. What was your impetus for leaving the Democratic Party?
Well, you know, no health care, no single-payer Medicare for all type, no livable wage. No, end to torture, no end to funding the war, no end to rendition. This was when the Democrats were in charge of the Congress and were very well able to pass that kind of legislation, but it just wasn't even on their minds. And it still isn't on their minds, and clearly the interests of the people are nowhere near the agenda for the Democratic Party.
But there's some kind of blindness happening. I see more and more people waking up. I've been out on a four-month book tour, and the first part of my book tour, when I was saying, you know, we can't put all our faith and hope in one man because it's not the man, it's not the party, it's not the system, I actually had people walk out on me. But now more and more people are waking up and understanding. But there's still this kind of, I think, almost a willful ignorance or blindness to the fact that it is the system. And every 4 to 8 years, we can't all of a sudden allow ourselves to be co-opted by that system. But not only did the Democrats not conform to your beatitudes, your philosophy, your ideology, but the Democrats, they targeted you, and they target so many people like speak for the people, not for the corporations.
Yes, they absolutely, after they dealt with me in 06, I was the only Democrat to lose in 06. And then when the first war funding bill came up, it passed exactly by the required number of votes. Had I been there and I voted no, of course I was going to vote no, which is why I was targeted, the war funding would have failed. I mean, it's just that simple. And then Rahm Emanuel is reported to have said that I wasn't a team player. Well, the team that he wanted me to be on was a team for torture, rendition, and war, and occupation, and misuse of public funds. I mean, that's the team he wanted me to be on.
Well, thank God you're not on that team. I wouldn't have voted for you. I wouldn't have voted for you in 2008.
And I wouldn't be the same person.
Right. Well, and also we just saw them pass another supplemental war funding bill that Obama said wasn't going to be happening during his presidency. But what they did was every Republican except for five voted no because it included funding for the IMF. But they, like, browbeat, and you've been there, you know, to be browbeaten by these people, or whipped, like they like to call it, into voting yes on the war funding bill. If they would have voted for it the day it got out of back from the Senate, it would have failed, and there would be no more funding for the war. So clearly, the Democrats are not the party of peace. They're not the party of the people.
No, I think that's clear. And even to, you know, there was this amalgamation of progressives called Progressives for Obama. And these are people who knew better. They knew because they have always taken the, you know, principled stand against war and imperialism and the things that are happening now to the total disintegration, economic disintegration that is taking place now to the benefit of the few. These people, I don't know why they were blinded, but they were blinded. But now it's available for everybody to see in plain sight. The only people who don't see are the people who are so busy, deeply engrossed in Fox News and CNN that, or in no news at all, that they can't see because they're so misguided by the disinformation. But anybody else, anybody who's trying to make ends meet now and who understands that a year's worth of U.S. GDP, the work and toil of the people of this country, has been shifted to the financial elite of this country, And the financial elite have said that the Obama administration is ready to double that if need be, up to over $23 trillion if need be. Then I think more and more people are beginning to see. Now, what has to happen is the kind of mobilization and organization so that these people have a place to go to. We need candidates. We need candidates to run. We need ballot access. And there's so many things. And, of course, more than anything else, we need money to be able to put the mechanism together so that people can have the kind of choice that the American people deserve.
Well, right. And that's, of course, one of our problems. It's the money talk. The money has power. And, you know, that's unfortunate because, you know, people, relevant voices that actually would help and bring true change are shut out. You were shut out of the debates. Nancy Pelosi, of course, refused to debate me. So we can't get our voices heard. So it's very difficult. While we're on the subject, what do you think that could be done at a very grassroots level to help the rise of third parties or independent candidates to compete with this? I don't even call it a duopoly. I call it a monopoly because in the robber class that I call them, there's not any much difference between a Republican and a Democrat. What can we do when we don't have that kind of resources, when we don't have access to the media like members of the robber class do?
Well, one of the things that we can't do is stop.
No, right.
We
no.
just have to, you know.
Nobody ever is proposing that.
That's right. We just have to keep doing what we're doing. And I'll be honest with you, the advent of the internet and YouTube and live stream, and we have a way now to communicate. We have to drive traffic to our sites, and we have to do the old-fashioned, you know, palm cards and touching people. But we have the opportunity to reach such a broader audience. When I was in prison and I recorded my letter from the Israeli prison, we put it up on the internet, and the darn thing took off, and it was like in the top five news stories for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was and because that happened, then CNN, which didn't cover it, but they had to put a crawler down,
right,
saying that, you know, and so, but that was because of people power and YouTube, basically. So we have to continue to develop our network of networks. And we also need to do bold and courageous things, as you have done, that capture the imagination of more and more people. More people found out about me and who I was as a result of what I've done with the Free Gaza movement. More people found out about Israel and what Israel does,
right,
as a result of what Israel did to us. If they had not done anything, then we, you know, would not have been newsworthy. But because Israel did what they did, they brought more attention to the situation, and more people are now informed. So we also have to not be afraid to do these bold things and partner with organizations in this country that are doing bold things. And one of the organizations that I love to point to is Take Back the Land down in Miami. When I went to Miami, I was stunned. Because, of course, people think about Miami. They think about Miami on television,
right,
and the big high-rise and the, you know, and but there is real poverty in Miami as well. And so this organization has decided that homelessness, the United States is a signatory to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that says that people have a right to housing. They have a right to shelter. And so Take Back the Land says, well, by golly, we're going to provide housing. We're going to provide shelter. And in this day and age with the foreclosures and people being subjected to the piracy of the banking industry, we need that kind of bold action, and they just move people into abandoned housing.
Well, wonderful. I think that should be a model of everywhere in the country. So let's get back to the whole Gaza issue. Like you said, if Israel had just let you through, let you drop off your supplies, then it wouldn't have become such a major issue. And I'm glad that a lot of people are able to be educated because of it. And, you know, I honor the sacrifice that you and your shipmates made to make that happen. Just like when I went down to Crawford, Texas, if George Bush had met with me the first day, nobody would even have heard of me. It's just so ridiculous what they do. But anyway, tell us about, you got back to the United States and you turned right around basically and went back. So tell us about that trip with George Galloway's organization, Viva Palestina, and they're doing great things also.
Yes, Viva Palestina UK had successfully taken about 100 vehicles, I understand, to Gaza by land in March of this year. So then buoyed by the success of that operation, George Galloway then organized Viva Palestina USA. And he came to the United States and raised quite a bit of money. Mm-hmm. And that allowed him to then go to Egypt and purchase vehicles and trucks and cars and medical supplies. And Egypt made quite a bit of money.
Well, that's also brilliant because it really is propping up a very economically disadvantaged country where the gap between the rich and the poor is just astonishing. So it's a brilliant move to purchase the supplies there in Egypt.
Well, even the brilliant move turned out to be not so well received by those in authority.
Oh, sure, by the robber class of Egypt, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. So we certainly suspected that the United States and Israel had joined minds with respect to whether or not my boat, our little ferry, the Spirit of Humanity, was going to be able to get through. But Egypt was added to the mix, and the trucks and vehicles were not, the trucks and cars were not allowed to leave the Freeport in Alexandria. We don't know whether or not the medical supplies or if all of the medical supplies were allowed in. So that's the next thing, is that poor George Galloway has got to figure out a way to get his money back, or it's not his money, but, you know, the money of the donors back. Or but right now there's $500,000 worth of cars in the Freeport in Alexandria, Egypt, and they are still just sitting there.
Did you actually get into Gaza?
I was
through
able
the
to
crossing?
Get in for, I was able to get in for a period of 24 hours, just as was everyone else. And of course, you know, 24 hours. Now, see, that is the difference between Free Gaza and the Viva Palestina convoys. And of course, there is a role for both of them. Now, the interesting thing is that Free Gaza is able to come and go. The Dignity, which was the boat that got rammed, it had gone five times successfully into Gaza. No problem. Mm-hmm. I get on the boat, it gets rammed.
then there's a problem.
Right. Then Spirit of Humanity, I'm on the boat, problem. But the interesting thing is that the Free Gaza organization identifies itself as a human rights organization, and their position is they shouldn't have to ask Israel or the United States or Egypt to go into sovereign territory that is Palestinian.
Right.
And this was what was in stark relief for me, because the Viva Palestina USA convoy idled for 11 days in Cairo waiting for permission to get in.
Mm-hmm. So how do we get those supplies released? Should I encourage my listeners to go to the Viva Palestina website and is there information there where we can, work to try and get the supplies released to get into Gaza?
I would have to check and see.
Well, we'll just let them, we'll let my listeners go to there, or I'll do that on the break and I'll give my listeners a way that they can help out, because all my listeners just want to help.
Yes, I see the vivapalestina.org is about, yes, it does have a link that you can click on for Viva Palestina USA.
Oh, great.
So if you just go to vivapalestina.org, then click on the Viva Palestina USA link, and it will take you to our experience. But yes, there's actually, President Obama can say one word, and those vehicles are out of Egypt and into Gaza.
Well, not very many people understand this in our country, but Egypt is one of the largest recipients of U.S. aid after Iraq and Israel. If I'm not mistaken, it's like third or fourth on the list. So it is, just a client state of the United States. So you're absolutely correct. Just one word from President Obama and the people of Gaza could get some supplies that they sorely need. We don't have that much time. We don't have that much time left, Cynthia. And, we know that like you said, this problem goes back to 1948. But on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox, we really strive for grassroots solutions to problems. We might not be able to solve this problem that's been going on for 60 years now and just a few seconds left on my show, but how can we reach out? Because if everybody that listens to my show did one thing today or tomorrow to help the situation, what do you think they could do?
I think they should send emails to the White House asking that the president recognize the self-determination of the Palestinian people, the right of self-determination. And that means that when the Palestinians have elections, their elections ought to be recognized. And when those elections do take place, those who are elected should not be imprisoned, as is the case now. I think that would go a long way if the president would just abide by his own reported words of easing the blockade of Gaza. But what we've seen out of this administration is they say one thing and they do another.
Well, absolutely. Talk about broken promises. And unfortunately, the only promises he has kept is to send more troops to Afghanistan. So we just need to wake up as a people. And I hope you'll join us in Washington, D.C. on October 5th, when we'll be in front of the White House, and that's the week that the U.S. invaded Afghanistan, to be a presence there and say, you know what, the anti-war movement hasn't gone asleep. We're awake. We want troops out of Afghanistan and Iraq and no more drone bombings into Pakistan. So I hope you'll join us. I hope my listeners will join us. And Cynthia, I hope you'll come back on the soapbox again real soon.
Thank you so much for even having a soapbox I can come to. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you, Cynthia. This is Cindy Sheehan. You're listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. We'll be right back with a listener soapbox rant.
Cindy Sheehan's new booklet, Myth America, examines two distinct groups of people that clearly show that we are not all in this together, as President Obama declared. The first group, the robber class, are wealthy victimizers such as those corporations and politicians that profit off the hard labor of others through economic theft and violent exploitation. The second group, the robbed class, are the victims, such as those who work multiple jobs just to make ends meet, those who send their children off to die in robber class wars, those who lack proper health care, those who are denied decent education, and those who lose their jobs and homes and become homeless. Myth America exposes America's robber class, which controls our government, and affirms that we, the robbed class, can only be robbed if we allow it. To obtain a copy of Myth America and learn how we can take back our country, please visit CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Hi, my name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy, and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you're listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.CindySheehansSoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Instead of my usual rant, I'm going to be playing a listener rant from Michael Kraft of Chicago, Illinois. Michael is one of my Facebook friends, and so we connected that way, and here's Michael's rant.
Hard Obama Realization by Michael Graff. How terribly disappointing it is to have a newly elected party and president that had run a campaign on being new and different, but is now continuing to support the treasonous and terribly destructive policies of the former administration. They are hopelessly following the party that gave us the worst president in history. This is our wake-up call that something is seriously wrong. Already an overall terror has Democrats running scared from Republican power. Combined with myriad refusals of Democrats to confront Republicans regarding their treasonous lies and actions, betrays the Democrats as being in collusion with the Republicans. To make matters worse, a pervasive 10-year fear continues to reverberate through right-wing-owned mass media and deep into America's consciousness. The former administration's near decade of horror had already stifled all good and progressive legislation, leading Americans into a dark ages kind of abyss. Unsure of what to do, our citizenry lay down in the fetal position, unable to endure the pained reality unfolding before them. The shock and confusion is so unthinkable for us. The majority hoped somebody or something would rise up to save us from ourselves and from our leaders, catastrophic violence. Miraculously, Barack Obama appeared on the scene to fill the bill perfectly. But when reality set in, it revealed our new Messiah was neither divine nor supernatural, if not hardly even a fearless leader. We watch and learn as Obama suffers under the same fascist boot as we the people. Gullible Americans love the rap of an even unproductive salesperson. That is, if he tells interesting stories. After all, the salesperson is entertaining and informative and is always a welcome change to our boring workday. Fooling ourselves, we cheerfully forfeit our power over to the salesperson, preferring to believe the falsehood that we both, together, are fighting his company to improve service. Was Mr. Obama's election a coincidence or a well-planned strategy to become America's very own savior? Regardless, his veneer is now discarded. We clearly see Barack as he truly is, a less than productive salesperson, complete with waning deliveries of anything worthwhile. It's a sickening realization that denies us any hope for changes. Nevertheless, it's far too late for citizen inaction. Certainly, it is past time for us all to move forward and away from the belief that others will save us. This task has always been the collective responsibility of we the people, the only seat of tremendous power in this great nation, that we ourselves have always been and together are the only force needed to seize back the wonder of our great republic. Freeing ourselves from this sick, criminally insane, and rapidly infectious mass conformity will preserve the much-needed morality of our great nation. Let us move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael, for sending me that rant. I just want to remind everybody that you can also send me a listener soapbox rant. You can go to cindysheehansoapbox.com to get information on how to send me a listener rant, or you can email me at cindy@cindysheehansoapbox.com. Also, you can send me your Ask Cindy listener questions, and today my question actually comes from my webmaster, Rich Bowser. Rich Bowser is a name you hear every week at the end of the show when I thank everybody for their contributions to my show. Rich is my volunteer webmaster, and I'm very, very appreciative of everything he does. So this is what Rich wrote to me today. Cindy, here is one of my larger concerns. I don't want to give these folks encouragement. Perhaps you might clarify that you are not endorsing armed revolution. Our society faces a potential sinkhole of right-wing violence, and I'm starting to be somewhat concerned. Well, I think Richard's talking about my book, Myth America, 10 Greatest Myths of the Robber Class and the Case for Revolution. First, I responded to Rich, and I told him that I would defy anyone to listen to everything I've said, my speeches, read all my writings, which are out there. There's plenty of material out there to check up on me, and I've never, ever once endorsed violence. I think the revolution that needs to happen needs to be a nonviolent revolution of values, like Martin Luther King Jr. said over 40 years ago. I think that violence is unproductive. I think that violence just begets violence, and a violent revolution would just install another violent regime, as what happened in our country over 240 years ago. So that's what I answered Rich, and that's what I'm answering everybody, that the solution is removing ourselves peacefully from the robber class systems that oppress us. And I would encourage everybody to check out my book, Myth America. If you live in the San Francisco Bay Area, I'd like to announce that Cynthia McKinney will be here. She will be at our friend Alan Michon's Grand Lake Theater on Thursday, August 20th at 7 p.m. So I hope everybody comes out to support Cynthia, support her work. And you can get more information about Cynthia and what she's doing at allthingscynthiamckinney.org. So I want for your soapbox action to be to go to Cynthia's site, find out what she's doing, and support her because she's a courageous lady of principle for the people. Okay, that's All Things, ALLTHINGS, Cynthia, CYNTHIA, McKinney, MCKINNEY.com. That's All Things Cynthia McKinney.com, not .org. Well, that's the show for today. Thank you for listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. I'd like to thank my guest, Cynthia McKinney. It was a great conversation, a great interview. I'd like to thank my engineer, Scott Cuddy, my webmaster, Rich Bowser, my assistant producer, Mikey, and of course, Rational Radio, 1360 AM in Dallas, Texas, and you, my listeners, as always. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to tune in next week.
There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
I must make my witness. I have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. Dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes. As if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Your
Baton Rouge.